Didn't know I'd be speaking tonight. When I was a young Christian, I wish I'd heard a message like this. What I'm speaking on. I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10 will be our text this evening. Beginning at verse 3. This is the book of 2 Corinthians. Let me make this purpose. 2 Corinthians is, I feel, one of Paul's richest writings. And it's amazing that in the line of personal testimony and defense of his ministry, defense of his apostleship, he breaks through at various sections with these marvelous, critical, needed insights into the Christian life. And this is exactly what he does at this particular point, beginning at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, that is, we live our lives in the body, we are in the flesh as long as we're alive, we do not war after the flesh. War, what have I gotten into? I thought this thing would be a smooth trip to heaven. You mean war? That sounds stressful. It sounds like it's hard. It sounds like there's going to be some real conflict, some difficulty, some fighting. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons, tools, means, entities, things that we have to use in this war, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Wild imaginations running wild, and philosophies, ideas, crazy thoughts, casting down these crazy things that come into our mind, imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Heavenly Father, we commit this next few moments in this evening service unto Thee, and we ask that You speak to us and enable us to be better warriors and to fight the good fight of faith with success, to lay hold on the weapons of our warfare, to put to flight those ideas and suggestions that come into our mind that are not right. Help us, Heavenly Father, to bring our thinking, our thoughts, every thought into the purity and the obedience of Christ, to think in a way that pleases Thee. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I speak to you tonight on the subject of mind battles, or victory over bad thoughts, wrong thoughts. Your mind is one of the most amazing faculties you have in your body. Everything about your body is miraculous. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. But your mind is a unique entity in itself. There's nothing like it. In fact, the ability to think, what have you ever thought about thoughts? What are thoughts? Where do thoughts come from? Can thoughts come from God? Can thoughts come from the devil? Can thoughts come just out of my own mind, out of my own flesh? What about our thoughts? Thinking. Our ability to think. Our memory. Our ability to recall and remember things. Our abstract ability to imagine and to project ourselves into daydreams is an amazing faculty. While the fact that we can think, and we do think, and we're thinking all the time, is disproval, emphatically, of the theory of evolution. The fact that we think and have the capacity to act upon our thinking is indeed a miraculous God-given thing. No matter what appetite and urges that you have in your body, and you do have the urge to eat. The Bible says that we have lust of the flesh. That is, our body has physical appetites. But your body does not move into willful action without the permission of your mind, your thoughts. In fact, in a great sense, in a great degree, your mind is a greater factor when you commit sin than your body. Because you see, before any grievous sin is committed, consent has to already be gained in the mind, our mental consent. Now, the Bible tells us that conversion is the transformation of our mind. In fact, when we come to know God, God does clean up our minds. In fact, He gives us a new heart, a new mind. Paul makes this emphasis when he says, writing to Christians, to stir up their pure minds by the way of remembrance. Now, we couldn't stir up a pure mind if we didn't have a pure mind. How does a mind get pure? It does so only because God Almighty has cleansed it and renewed it and taken out the filth and the dirt and the corruption of it. It's an amazing thing what God does to the mind. And yet not only is renewal of our mind that which occurs at conversions, the Bible says that we are in constant need of the renewal of our mind. You remember the exhortation in Romans 12 that says, we are to present our bodies daily a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's a sense that our mind always constantly needs to be renewed. Your mind, right thinking, has to be impressed and recreated within you. It is true, you are not what you eat, you are what you think. It's the sum total of your thinking, your thoughts, that defines you as a human being. Many scriptures testify that we are what we think. The bent and the direction of our mind tells what we are. If you want to know whether you're a Christian or not, look at the direction of your mind. What does your mind like? What does your mind feed upon? What does your mind love? What are the general directions of your thinking, your thoughts? Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Yes. Proverbs 4:23, out of the heart or the mind are the issues of life. Jesus said in Matthew 15:18, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries. Where are adulteries? Where are they began? They began in the mind. Where are murders? Where are they began? They began in the mind. Fornications, thefts, lies, blasphemies. All those are fruits that can be and are committed in the flesh. They have their conception and they have their beginnings in the human mind. Now the God of the Bible, the God in whom we have to do, tells us in His Word that He is highly concerned about the way we think. In fact, often the Scriptures presents truth, the truth, the fact that God is concerned and interested and cares about our thoughts. The psalmist said in Psalms 139, verse 23, "Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. You understand my thoughts." You mean God is concerned about our thoughts? "You understand my thoughts afar off. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." Are you willing for God to jump in your mind tonight and try your thoughts? To try your mind? Well, here's news. He already is. You don't have to give Him permission to do this. He's trying your mind. You know, many scriptures teach us that sin is conceived, first of all, in the thought process. Jesus, when He said, "But I say unto you," listen, this is Matthew 5:28, "I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her." Now that's a thought taking place. It's not something that's before any physical touching has taken place. There is that thought that is carried out, that lustful thought. It is in the thought process. Jesus said, "Also, I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother," anger against a brother is something that you have in your mind. It's something that is in your thoughts. And Jesus said, those that had this and that it was not corrected was in danger of the judgment. Matthew 5:22, He said, "And whosoever shall say," that is, "whosoever shall say inwardly, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hellfire." So, thoughts are important to God. In fact, God can put you in a hell because of the way you think. God will put you in a hell in the way you think. And it is a glorious day. It is a great day. Because when Christ changes you and the inward change that you receive, you begin to be at war with bad thoughts. And that your pure mind is stirred up to put down, to war against, to cast down, to mortify, to fight against bad thoughts, wrong thoughts. Look at verse 3. What warfare are we talking about? You mean the Christian life is a warfare? You better believe it, honey. And let me tell you, if you're not having it hard, you're not a real Christian. Yeah. This thing is not easy. This thing is difficult. Yeah. Bringing thoughts into the captivity of Christ and bringing your thinking under the conformity of the will of God is not easy, but it can be done. Yes. Praise God. Amen. You can think right. And when we're not thinking right, we can get corrected in our thinking. Listen to it. Notice, casting down imaginations. Now, if they need to be cast down, we know the imagination is not good. Whatever we're thinking there needs to be cast down and cast out. It should not be tolerated. And notice, high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. This is any kind of thought that can come into your mind that runs contrary to God. Do you have thoughts that run contrary to God? Can you? Contrary to truth? Contrary to ultimate reality? What kind of battle are we talking about? We're talking about a warfare and a battle that deals with the activity of the mind and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So when we're talking about warfare, we're talking about a real, legitimate, bona fide war that is taking place in the Christian that we're engaged in actively. The admonition and the encouragement of our text is from the standpoint of taking the fight to these bad thoughts and being victorious over everything that is contrary to the will of God, over everything you know that is not right. Taking our spiritual weapons, the resources that God has given us, and waging an aggressive, offensive action. You're not to sit back and let bad thoughts rule over you. You're not to give in to bad thoughts. You're to take aggressive action in your mind. You are to take action with bad thoughts that come into your thinking and into your mind with good thoughts and counter thoughts. Amen. Thoughts that are centered in the Word of God. You see, there is a sense in which, in one sense, the gospel has already accomplished all of these things in us who have believed. When the Bible says that casting down imagination, that's already happened in a great degree since when I was converted. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You see, our mind before we were converted was literally a kingdom of iniquity. Do you remember in the days of Noah before God destroyed that generation that it says every thought of the heart of man was only evil continually? Isn't that a good description of sinners? Any good description of our day? People who are without God, their mind is continually upon iniquity. Our mind before God cleaned it up was a virtual kingdom of darkness, a very vile and wicked thing. Our strong will that exalted itself against God was broken and subdued. One of the great tests of whether or not God has come into your life is, has your will been broken? Have you fallen upon the stone? Have you surrendered yourself to Jesus Christ? If you're still bullheaded and stubborn and you want your will and you want to rule, you have not met Jesus Christ. It is a great day when our stubborn will is broken. And that great stronghold of lies and excuses were torn down. We had all kinds of reasons we didn't want to be saved. We had all kinds of reasons God couldn't be trusted. We had all kinds of excuses that were worthless and damning our souls. But God in His mercy, through the blessed work of the Holy Spirit, tore down all those strongholds of lies and excuses and made us see that we didn't have a leg to stand on. There was no hope for us in this world except in Christ. All those insane imaginations were cast down. Silly arguments fell to pieces under the truth of God. God caused indeed that light of the glorious gospel of Christ to shine into our hearts. And all of those lies fell to pieces. Truth put to silence our stupid reasons for rejecting the Lord. His own love, thank God, has conquered our rebellious hearts and minds and made us willing in the day of His power. So when we talk about what warfare is in view, we're talking about something, first of all, in a great sense, God has already accomplished this in us. But by and large, the warfare we still must wage will be in our minds. In fact, the crux of the Christian warfare primarily will be fought out in your mind. You see, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We live in a natural body and we carry on external activities, but the war that we are called to fight has nothing to do with physical weaponry. We are not running to the store and getting our guns and bullets to fight this warfare with, beloved. There's no such thing as conquering this battle with any physical weapon. Our battles are taking place in our mind. Bad thoughts, wrong thoughts that come in, stupid suggestions, carnal reasoning, obstinate unbelief. Inadvertently, bad thoughts arise naturally through the flesh, or they are placed into our mind by spirit beings. I remember again when I was just a young Christian seeking after the Lord wholly. I had been living on a mountaintop and enjoying the sweet presence of the Lord, and right smack dab in the middle of the church, my mind began to be assaulted with the greatest blasphemies about Christ that I could ever imagine. In fact, I began to think things about Christ that I had never thought before. How in the world could this happen that I could think such weird things about Jesus, my Lord, my Savior? But they came into my mind. You mean our thoughts sometimes can be put and manipulated by the devil himself? Powers and principalities. The scripture says that our warfare is against not flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. These spiritual beings do and have this unique ability to access the mind. If there's anything we can say about the devil, we know that he is a relentless assailer of our mind. He attacks the mind. He whispers lies into the mind. He places obnoxious ideas and suggestions into your mind involuntarily.
Right.
Now, I had somebody years ago say, Brother Johnson, I've been plagued of late with bad thoughts. My response was, do you like it? Do you agree with it? Are you consenting to these things? My friend, there's no sin in a bad thought if it does not have your consent. You're not erring. You're not failing God when your mind is being attacked with something that is loathsome if it doesn't have your permission to be there. Amen. Yes, inadvertently, bad thoughts can come and be placed into our mind. There's no shortage of bad thoughts, silly ideas, foolish things, imaginations, crazy suggestions. And if your mind is pure, they vex it. If your mind is clean, you're not in love with those things. They are a vexing, just like the lifestyle of the Sodomites was vexing to the righteous soul of Lot day by day, so it is these things vex the true child of God. Now, it is almost endless the variety of wrong thinking, the forms of bad thoughts. Let me just give you just a quick summary, and I'm not even giving you a complete summary. Of course, there's those nasty thoughts that we have, immoral thoughts. Do you ever have any immoral thoughts? Those thoughts are wrong. What do we do with them? Do we dwell on them? Do we allow them to run freely? Or do we cast them down and cast them out and bring them under submission to the control of Christ? There's those immoral thoughts. Then there's the thoughts that are just plain lies. Something that's false that comes into your mind, an error. And by the way, I think that sometimes the lies that come into our mind are even more destructive and dangerous than the immoral thoughts. The lies. Because sometimes the lies are harder to discern and get to the root of that particular idea that is contrary to the will of God. So anything that comes into your mind that is contrary to the revealed truth of God or any of the commandments of God, if God has said thou shalt not, and if there's something comes into your mind that says you should, it's a lie.
Yes, amen.
Those thoughts of confusion, mixed up crazy thoughts, those conflicting thoughts that if you follow them out, they are depressing and discouraging. Those things are wrong. Vain thoughts. Prideful thoughts. You know, all that is in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Oh, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty big. I'm pretty important. Nobody like me. I hung the moon. Those kind of thoughts. You got any thoughts like that? Well, sure you do. Nobody's as good as you at times. So your mind, it comes into your mind. Prideful thoughts, vain thoughts. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, 113, I hate vain thoughts. Doesn't mean you can't have them, but you can't hate them.
Hate them. War with them. Grab a hold of one of the instruments to put them to flight. Have a victory. Don't consent.
Amen.
Don't entertain. Win the battle. Blasphemous thoughts. Bad thoughts of God. Of Christ. And then there's bad surmisings or evil suspicions against a brother or sister. Those thoughts that come in our mind under certain circumstances, well, I don't like them. There's this problem with them. And we get suspicious. Instead of being merciful and long-suffering and kind and generous and judging not, we form all kinds, we allow all kinds of bad opinions to be formed in our mind about another person. So I'm telling you, the warfare is real, is it not? And I found that even after years of walking with the Lord, it is amazing what my mind can come up with. Isn't it? Some of the most horrid imaginations, some of the most loathsome thoughts, the propensity of the mind to produce and manufacture evil thoughts that are contrary to the will of God and antagonistic to spiritual life. But it does God great pleasure to see you taking a stand in your mind.
Yes.
Pulling them down, casting them out, bringing them into the obedience of Christ. So this is the clash between the carnal and the spiritual that every believer is compelled to fight. Paul illustrated it in Galatians 5, verse 16 and 17, when he said, "The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another." It's a clash. Now, beloved, we're not to roll over and pretend that these hateful, ugly things that come into our mind are not so. There's no such thing. If it's a wrong thought, it is not innocent, nor is it impotent if it is willfully entertained. It can do you great damage. A single thought, willfully entertained, can be deadly. So you're not to roll over and pretend when that thought is there, well, it is not so, but fight against it. Pull them down, wage war, and win. We, through Christ and because of the power that is in us, is greater than that power. Hallelujah! We can take the fight to them. These bad thoughts, these evil suggestions, these poor things, we can cast them out and kill them and put them out for the glory of God. So take initiative, beloved, knowing for certain you can't do just a little bit of victory. You can have victory and do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. You say, "Brother Don, why is this victory and dominion over wrong thoughts such a big deal? Nobody can see my wrong thoughts, church." Beloved, although it's only a thought, as I said, it's not an impotent thing. It's not an innocent thing if you hold on to it. Wicked thoughts that you willfully entertain are as sinful and obnoxious in the sight of God as the action itself. But there's no sin in them if you stand against them. But if you leave them alone and do not defeat them, if you do not defeat your bad thoughts will defeat you. You see, I can't control what involuntarily the devil or even my own flesh pops up in my mind. These carnal imaginations that are contrary to God, contrary to holiness. I can't stop that. I can't help that.
But what I do with those thoughts after arrival, we can help. We can make sure any wrong thought has a short shelf life.
Amen.
We can judge them. We can throw them down. We can say to them, "That's bad. I shouldn't think that. That's wrong, and I don't agree with that. That's not who I am. That's not what I am." We can cast that out. We can mortify them. We cannot allow those evil, wrong thoughts to conceive and bring forth fruit, according to James 1:15. But you'll notice here that if we're going to have victory, something beyond our own thoughts, yes, beyond your own self, is necessary to control and conquer your bad thoughts. And bring your thinking at all times into harmony with the will of God. That's what our calling is. Our calling is to have every thought, every imagination, every idea brought to the obedience of Christ. That's our calling, to be in harmony with the will of God. We do not war after the flesh, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Every Christian has access to these weapons to use against bad thoughts. And beloved, let me tell you, it is not physical, external things that is an answer to your mental struggle. I read about these so-called Christians in Spain who would do 100 days of special, hard, self-mutilating penances to purify their minds. Let me tell you, you can take a whip and flog your back all you want to, and that won't remove a single bad thought. Won't give you victory. I read about a monk whose name was Benedict. It's in 500 A.D., when he was tempted with lust, he would fling off his rags and cast his body on a thorn bush. What good would that do? Give him some pain, maybe distract him, but would it solve the problem? I'm just telling you the weapon. Do you understand? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You do not work this thing on into you victory from external outward action. This is not something that we do through carnal means, such as, keeping holy days, making pilgrimages, purifying our mind, retreating to some special secluded place. We take our mind with us when we get to the secluded place. There's no such thing. I had seen one time, they carried a Bible on the dash of a car. They said, I asked them why they did that or what was the purpose. They said, that keeps away the devil.
Well, I haven't found that to work. It doesn't keep the Bible
in. I'm just saying that all these charms and potions and formulas and legalistic works are useless, worthless in the battle of the mind. Well, what are the mighty weapons of our warfare? If they are weapons, and if we're urged to use them, what are they? Listen, ugly, silly thoughts that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God can only be answered and defeated by sound and true knowledge of the Word of God. You know what will knock down a lie? The truth. And that's the great example our Lord gave us. Jesus himself used this example for our benefit. When assailed by Satan, tempted at all points, he simply remedied the situation of the temptation by quoting Scripture. Take your notes in the Bible. Store up the Word of God in your heart. The more you hide in your heart the Word of God, God, the less you will sin against God. The more you have of the Word of God in your mind, the less room there will be for Satan to put other things in your mind and fill your heart with foolish, sinful suggestions. So the more you know of God's Word, the more you can use it to counter these contrary thoughts and suggestions that exalt the idea or the notion of something that is foolish, that is contrary to the will of God. Sinful thought says, it would be fun. It would be good to believe this. You would be more in tune with the age. You'd be more up to date. That's a lie. Yeah. And you counter those things with the Word of God. But then there's something else. We thank God for the Scriptures, aren't we? All Scriptures are given by inspiration of God and are profitable. And I find that one of the greatest profits of the Word of God and having it in your heart is the use of the Word of God against foul and obnoxious thinking. But there's something more. Sometimes we are assailed with a particularly strong temptation in our mind, and in a moment's time, a whole lifetime of Bible knowledge has a way of evaporating. Have you ever been in that type of case? When you're particularly, I can remember a few years ago, I was on my lawnmower and a particular temptation came upon me, and it's like almost I forgot everything that I had ever read in the Scriptures. I just went blank. It seemed like I couldn't quote anything. Nothing. Nothing came out. Well, what do you do in such occasions? Then you must engage Jesus Christ in the battle. How do you do that? Call on Him. Pray. Call upon the Lord in the day of trouble. Pray fervently. Bring your mind into the presence of God. Show up at the throne of grace. Get that mercy and help that you need in time of need. And when your mind is under assault, it is an hour of need. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Our God is a God of help. He's not against us in this thing, beloved. He's for us.
Amen.
He's a help, a very present help. Call upon Him when you're struggling. Call upon Him when the bad thoughts attack you. Call upon Him when the lies are insidious and they're high and lofty and clever. Call upon the Lord.
Amen.
Call upon Me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. There's help for those who earnestly cry out for it. God likes us showing up at the throne of grace. In fact, that's why He's left us vulnerable here in one sense. He wants us to need Him. We can't get by without abiding constantly in Him. When we pray, we engage that wondrous energy that is beyond mortal or fleshly strength. We have the whole help of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? I think that is open-ended promise there. At any time, at any place when the saint needs the Holy Spirit. So we have the example of prayer. Prayer is a mighty weapon, and you can use it any time, any place we encounter trouble. No one can prevent you from praying to God. It is effectual, quick, and uncomplicated. Cast thy burden on the Lord, and He will sustain thee. And sometimes, again, God has to enable us, but we are called to exercise faith. And my friends, let me tell you this. Faith is not necessarily a feeling. Faith is the ability to say what God says is true, and I may feel rotten, I may feel tempted, I may have all kinds of crazy things that's running through my emotions, but I do believe God. I do believe that God is and He's to be feared and His Word is to be true. Faith honors God. In fact, without faith is it impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Amen.
Faith takes God at His word. Faith believes the promises to be alive. Faith believes and trusts God to be true and faithful, and He is, you will never be able to charge God when you stand before Him, "You were unfaithful to me. I trusted you, but you let me down." It'll never happen, my friend. Faith is the victory. But if you notice in the text, beloved, it's not, the emphasis in the text is not on our individual weapons. In fact, it says, yes, we have. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That's all it says about them. There's no enumeration. They're not even named in the text. But what is named is the nature of our strength and the nature of the warfare we're engaged in. Notice these violent terms. Pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. Bringing into captivity. Say, you being captive and held in bondage, bring it into bondage. Lock it up. Throw away the key. Bringing into captivity every thought. Wreaking vengeance on all disobedience. It tells us that this battle that we have in our minds will not always be a smooth and peaceful and easy transaction. Many times there will be violent upheavals that you will struggle with as you fight the good fight of faith. At times you will go through bitter and heart-fought battles. But the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent must take it by force. And thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift that we can force our will and our way over every wrong thought. For sin shall not have dominion over you. And greater is He that is in you. Is He in you? Then He is greater than he that is in the world. So do you see that there's a positive victory here? Beloved, a positive victory can be ours. Look at this. There's an extreme degree of victory that is promised to the Christian here. Casting down imagination. That's not just a hope we can do that. We have weapons to do that. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, we can do that. And bring into captivity every, some, a few, occasionally,
every
thought, everything. Isn't this a wonderful promise?
Yeah.
What a victory. Listen, the weapons of your warfare will not result in an occasional victory if you'll use them over foul thinking. Nor just a small stronghold of some bad habit crumbles while the big ones remain. Or only some of the high-sounding smart lies that come our way can be refuted and exposed as ridiculous. No, all of them. By the help of God, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, not just some part of the day of your mind can be focused upon the Lord, that you can stay your mind on the Lord all day long. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. If only just an occasional victory, this would be a standard of defeat. We would not be pulling down strongholds. No, we're to pull them down, all of them. If you've got a bondage in your life, if there's an evil thing that is not right and contrary to the will of God, you're to have victory over it. Put it out. Cast it down. Cast down all evil imaginations. Expose and refute every crafty lie and bring every thought into captivity to the will of Christ. Well, Brother Don, it may be good for you to believe that you can have victory and have control after their arrival and cease to entertain. But I don't know that I can. Well, let me tell you this. None of us in ourselves
can do this. You are shut up constantly, totally dependent on Christ working in you, both to do and the will of His good pleasure.
But let me ask you, does your will agree with His? Does your choices that you make about your bad thoughts agree with His choice? Are you willing to do what you can to escape environments that incubate bad thoughts?
Come out from among them! A lot of people are plagued unnecessarily with bad thoughts because they spend too much time with the TV and the radio. Our minds need to be sponges of the truth of God.
And we would isolate in a monastery. But does our will, listen, this thing, yes, God is for us and God will help us. But there's something that the Lord is pleased to see us engaging our will, making our choices when it comes to casting down bad imaginations, putting to flight high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I think about it, I find I like that. Because you know what I've discovered after a few years of life? His will is what's the sweetest and the dearest and the most precious thing to my life I can imagine.
Yeah.
He doesn't hurt me. He helps me. He's life.
Amen.
He's life. My mind and my life disintegrates apart from Him. In Him, there's continuity and unity and purpose and power and life more abundantly. Praise God for this. Thank you, Jesus, for dying and making this purity possible.
Amen.
Go out and have a good thought. And keep thinking the good thoughts. And when the bad thoughts come, put them to flight with the good thoughts. Let's pray.
Help us, Lord, as we fight this fight of faith. Help us to be good soldiers. Help us not to faint in the day of adversity. Make us strong. Help us to put on the whole armor of God. Help us to stand, especially in this evil day, and having done all, to stand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.